Now, I mentioned that we're going to pay close attention to some of this text, particularly the story of Zacchaeus, and I'm hoping that maybe at least for a few of you, I might change your minds about what this story is about, because this isn't your grandmother's Zacchaeus that I'm going to tell you about. And then I want to deal with an important issue, which is the question of salvation, and what does it mean for Zacchaeus, and what does it mean for us? So as we look at the story, you see just in the second verse there that Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. Now, what the scholars tell us about this word is that Luke actually made it up. It's not a word that really appears elsewhere in literature or from what we know about first century. There is no such thing as the chief tax collector. Essentially, he seems to be saying that here's a man who's on that team that you really hate, and he's the captain. He's the tax collector's tax collector. He's the chief tax collector. Now, what you need to know, and I'm sure many of you all have our own feelings about our tax collectors, right? The IRS, and even though they're deeply important to the running of our country, we all kind of, you know, have our frustrations with maybe how much we have to pay. But let me tell you, friends, we've got it easy. Because in first century, you would have been taxed three times. You would have been taxed the temple tax if you were a faithful Jew. You would have paid your temple tax to the priests so they could keep the running of the temple and worship and their own payment, and they could also use that money to help serve the poor and the needy in the community. But the problem is that we've learned, or archaeologists have learned as they've uncovered things from the temple or nearby, that the priests were living quite well. The corruption of collecting taxes even reached into the temple. But that was just the first tax you would pay. The second tax you would pay would actually be to your regional governor. In this case, it would have been Herod or one of his sons in the region in which you would have lived. So you would have been taxed the temple, then you would have been taxed by Herod's sons, and then you would have also had to pay your Roman tax to the empire. Now, people have estimated, and I don't even know if I can believe this, but they say that the estimate is that people were often taxed 80 to 90% of their income. Families who had been farming the land, right, for generations were going broke and having to give over their rights to the land. You can imagine the anger in which people felt toward the empire, but also the anger that probably got taken out on these tax collectors. Because tax collectors only made their living by charging a little bit more than the required tax, right? So that they could have something to live on as well. And so we also learn about Zacchaeus that he was rich. And there's only one way, right? You become a rich tax collector. So people had their ideas about this man. And then, of course, the town heard that Jesus was coming by, and everybody wanted to hear him. And curiously enough, even Zacchaeus desperately wanted to see Jesus. And so he came out, and the next thing we learn about him is that he is short in stature. Now, this is likely a double meaning in the sense that he might have also been short, unable to see over the crowd in front of him. But it also could very well mean he was short in respect. People didn't want him around, and so when he came and was involved in public functions, you know, he elbowed out. People turned their backs toward him and wouldn't let him in. So Zacchaeus, still desperate to see Jesus, runs on ahead and climbs a tree, knowing that Jesus will pass by. And maybe it's Jesus' divine intervention, or maybe it's just odd to see a grown man climb a tree, even in the first century. He looks up, and he sees Zacchaeus, and he says, "Come down, I'm going to your house." And he comes down and gladly welcomes them, and on the way, the people begin to grumble. There's Jesus going to the house of a sinner, which, by the way, he's been doing for some time. But maybe for them it was new. He's going to the house of a sinner. But then Zacchaeus stops. And he's talking to Jesus, but it seems pretty clear that this is addressed maybe to everybody. He says, "Lord, look, I will give away half of my possessions. And if I have wronged anybody, I will pay them back four times as much." Only the problem is, this isn't actually what the text says, but this is what we've learned. The text we have in front of us is in English, but the original text, right, this is translated from Greek. And you'll note in other translations, if you would dare to look, actually, that these words of giving are not in the future tense. This is not necessarily a story about Zacchaeus who has this interaction with Jesus and suddenly changes his ways, but these words are actually in the present tense. And Zacchaeus is confronting people's attitudes toward him and maybe this whole system. He says, Lord, look, I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I find out I wronged anybody, if I'm like one of those other tax collectors that are taking way too much, even the priests who are living on way too much and not doing their duty of caring for the poor, if I find out that I mistakenly charge too much to somebody, I'm going to give back four times as much. And Jesus, looking at Zacchaeus, looking at the crowd, truly salvation has come to this house. For he too is a son of Abraham. So let's talk about salvation for just a minute. For most of us, when we hear this word salvation, we think of this idea of being forgiven from our sins so that we can go to heaven. But the reality is that I think, more and more I read the stories, especially in the gospel, and particularly as we look at the story for today, salvation is a much more concerned with life before death rather than life after death. It's much more concerned about bringing heaven to earth rather than going to heaven later on. It's like that prayer that we pray every Sunday, Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So who's to blame for us missing or always thinking about salvation as a heaven or an after-death concept? Maybe it's the preachers. Maybe it's Hallmark. Maybe it's the movies. But I, most of all, I blame country music. I do. How about friends? I'm convinced that we need to rethink and reimagine and think about salvation as a very much this world issue, because it becomes very destructive when we begin to think of it only as a life after death principle. It releases us from any duty of thinking about poverty or injustices in the world that we see all around us, knowing that sort of one day it'll be taken care of. But salvation is about the healing and restoring of the world and our lives right now in our midst. And so when we look at the story of Zacchaeus and we think about, well, what does salvation mean to Zacchaeus? In Zacchaeus's case, well, for him, it was a life of generosity. It was a life of living in justice, living a life of justice in the midst of a corrupt and broken system. But salvation also meant this crowd coming to a new understanding of who Zacchaeus was and who was involved in the kingdom work that Jesus wanted to do. That word, he calls him. He says, for here too is a son of Abraham. You remember the promise of Abraham was to be blessed, to be a blessing. Here too is a man who is blessed and being a blessing to the world, who's participating in the salvation, the healing, and the restoration of his brothers and sisters. You could see Jesus pulling the two sides together, saying, you guys are brothers and you're sisters. This is incredibly important, friends, particularly today as we take communion. Because as we come to this table, we learn that this isn't my table, certainly not. It's not Westminster's table, even. It's not a Presbyterian table, but this is the Lord's table. And as children of God, as we come to the Lord's table, we get nourished and we get fed. But we also get instructed, taught God's table manners, how to live with compassion and generosity and love and justice. Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "Today salvation has come to this house." My prayer for us is that salvation would come to this house, come to our houses, as we learn how to live like Zacchaeus, with generosity and justice, even when and especially when we see the injustice in the world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I invite you, as we prepare to sing communion, to stand and sing a wonderful song, "Come Live in the Light," and it's printed on an insert in your bulletin.